think we get that prompt if you're the host, press 1. Oh. We're the very first.
Okay. So that means I'm in.
We're in. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm good.
All right. Will you meet me?
Definitely give me a call.
I definitely will. I have your number.
All right.
I will. Thanks, George.
My pleasure.
Hello, this is Tim.
Hi, this is Jerry. I'm on as well.
Ah, hi, Jerry. How are you doing today?
Not bad, thank you. And how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty nice, though. I'm in Anchorage. Are you in Anchorage?
Yeah.
Yeah, the sun came out today, which is a lot better than the rainy day we had yesterday. So.
Goodness, it really made you. I think winter was on the way, didn't it?
It did. It felt exceptionally cold. But boy, I'm looking out the window at some beautiful fall colors right now. I hope you get a nice view also where you are.
I do. I've been out all morning, and it's been really, really beautiful out.
Excellent. I've been reading up on some of Fullan's work, and you know the stuff from Ontario, trying to get ready for this. Is there anything in particular you would recommend that I read by Fullan? I've read a lot of his stuff, and I've been looking up other things that are newer, but I didn't know if you had something since you brought him up as a connection on this.
Yeah, actually, I just finished a book, a 2016 book by Fullan named Coherence.
Yes.
R-E-N-C-E. Have you across?
Yeah, that's actually the one I just finished. Well, I haven't completely finished it, but I've been reading that one, and I do feel quite connected to that one. I'm glad that's the one that came off your tip of your tongue, because I think there's so much good stuff in that one.
Oh, I do. I think it connects everything for me.
Yeah.
He also has a newer one out than that, a 2017 one called Indelible Leadership.
Okay.
Which kind of builds off the Coherence book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in the very, very tail end of that one right now. And it's a nice book. It's a good follow up. And he has another one coming out soon. And I'm not sure just when. I've actually been emailing him, and the Commissioner Johnson and I are going to have a phone conversation with him in the near future, just to kind of talk a little bit about Alaska 2000 and get some thoughts about the work we're doing and so on.
Well, I am so excited to hear that. I've dug into Coherence really hard. Because I've heard you say the words collaboration a lot, and I completely believe in them. I think that's where, if this is going to be successful, it'll be a collaboration with everyone who works in schools and cares about schools and wants schools to be successful. Everyone has to get on board and be part of that. But collaboration, focusing direction, deepening learning, securing accountability were the things I was writing down from the coherence-making strategies that he was talking about at the beginning of the book.
Yes, and actually I shared a lot of information out of that book with the State Board last week. And thinking that as we prepare for the recommendations coming forth, that we keep those drivers in mind and make use of them as we're working with school districts and other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Translating these recommendations into reality, that we do it within the context of those four drivers. And the board was quite receptive to that message.
I'm so happy to hear that. I will continue to read that entire book and probably read it a couple of times to get even more up to speed on it. Because I saw things inside there where the union really plays the role, the building professional capacity sort of pieces. Yeah. We have a definite role to play inside of that as a supporter of what's going on in this. So count me in.
Great, Sam. I feel so strongly about that. And I think it's in this other book, this follow-up book I'm reading. I was taking notes this morning looking at it, and I believe it said that no system has ever made major improvements without your workforce coming along. And you can't do it any other way. And I think that's going to, frankly, be one of our significant challenges going forward, to find ways, because I think there's people entrenched on both sides of this issue that are going to have to convince to change their minds.
Building that within our 8,000 teachers specifically is work, and I go door to door as much as I can. I know the commissioner does, and I know others will get out there too and do some of that work. But I'm hoping that step one is that the ideas that we come up with in all the different Ed Challenge committees are really good, because I think that's a starting point. The ideas have to be something that at least start to draw people in. And then we have to step up as the leaders inside these different groups and start talking about them. And for us in NEA world, we have a lot of democratic pieces where people get together. So I'm looking ahead to our delegate assembly, which comes up in January. And I'm thinking of putting together a committee that will really get into that work and potentially bring something forward, because it's kind of like Congress. We need an act to sort of everyone to step behind and vote for, and then we can go forward.
Well, I appreciate that, and I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we can, if you're successful in that, I think it would be viable to put together a team, a cross-section team, where you had administrators and board members and a group that could look at how can we advance these ideas and bring people together, because this collaboration and this deep learning aspect of this book, you can't do deep learning top down. You just can't do it. And we have to engage the workforce. He talks in that Coherence book a lot about the fourth driver being accountability, and about accountability from the bottom up. And every system has that, and we don't. I mean, our system is not constructed that way.
Yeah.
So I think we have some opportunity there, and I think using these drivers will help us move in that direction. Whatever I can do to help you, Tim, let me know.
Well, I appreciate it, Jerry. Thank you. I hope some others joined us. It's 1:02 now, so.
Good afternoon. This is Rachel Roy in Sitka.
Hi, Rachel. It's Jerry Covey here.
Hi.
This is Zach from
Jerry,
Bethel.
This is Tiffany. I've also joined.
Hi, Tiffany.
This is Zach from Bethel.
Oh, great. We're waiting for our...
Education. Hey, I'm sorry about that. We called in early and got put in a different queue. So
we've been wondering where everyone was.
So we're here, and I understand there's a number of people on the line, so I was just going to run through the photo sheet really quick to see who's with us. Here in Juneau is myself, Erin Harden, and Sarah Emmel, along with Timmy Tullis, our facilitator. Is Member Gallahorn on the line? Okay, what about, oh, I know Member Harmon won't be able to join us until 3. Is Kathy Comack on the line? All right, what about Geraldine Kelly? Okay, Rachel Roy?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Janet Beifeld. Okay. Senator Biggett extends his regrets. He's traveling overseas and will not be able to join us this afternoon. Representative Fansler.
Yeah, I'm here, but I'm going to have to leave a little bit, like an hour and 15 minutes to go teach a class. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Representative Kopp?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Tiffany Jackson?
I'm here.
Hi, Tiff.
All right, and Carrie Boyd?
Probably on the way to the conference.
Yeah, probably on the way. I know she messaged me. Tim Parker.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Steve Guinness. All right. Melanie Banky. Okay. Commissioner Davidson. Okay, I do believe she'll be joining us here a little bit later. Kathy Wasserman messaged me that she would not be able to join. Dina Mitchell. Okay. Liz Medicine Crow.
Hi.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, Liz. How are you folks doing?
Great. Nice to hear your voices, everyone.
Yeah,
all right.
You.
And then Hunter Carter. All right. Is there anyone else on the line whose name I did not call?
Yeah, this is James Fields. I'm from the State Board of Education, the chair, and I wanted to make sure that you had board representation, so I'll be here at least until Member Harmon gets on, if not longer. So I just wanted to thank everybody for their commitment and time they're putting into this effort.
Thank you, James, for being on. That's really helpful to have someone from the State Board here.
Wonderful. And Carrie, are you with us as well?
Carrie, yes.
Oh, that's Carrie.
Oh, and Carrie. All right.
Welcome, Carrie and Jerry.
All right. Well, I'll turn it over to Timmy then.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. Really nice to have everyone back. And I hope those of you that maybe were not on our last meeting have had a chance to at least look through the minutes of the meeting. We had two wonderful presentations, one by ICC talking about the work they've been doing around the circumpolar schools and in the districts. And then we had one from First Alaskans and the Association of School Boards talking about their community conversations and such. And so all that information is available, and if you have a chance, I would certainly highly recommend looking at that. From that meeting, during that meeting, we also then reflected on kind of turning our bucket list into some goals. And at the table, you know, what we kept reminding ourselves is that we needed to look at transformational goals. And so at one point, there was a large discussion around partnerships, and that was one of our big buckets. But it got brought up by several people, and if you saw the minutes, you will notice that, you know, we kind of thought, well, are partnerships transformational, or are they just something that we know is a really good idea and best practice? And Erin, were there some other comments highlighted around that topic? I see you're looking right at the minutes that are worth highlighting.
Yeah. We did have a number of people who felt partnerships would be a standalone, but weren't sure if they were transformative. And so what we had asked the committee was to go ahead and close, but take the interim to really think about if partnerships were transformational and if someone felt or people felt like they were, to let us know at the department and provide some sample language for the goal statement that we could consider and bring forth to this meeting. And we did not hear from anyone, and so our plan at this meeting is to move forward and just discuss the sort of two goal statements that we have on the table.
Because here, you know, when we don't hear from anyone, we just assume that no one thought it was, you know, forefront enough to continue to move on with that. So at this time, if you're looking at your agenda, you will see that we have two goal statements. The first one reads, to provide tribes and Alaska Native organizations the option to enter into self-governance compacts with the state of Alaska to gain more autonomy in the management and delivery of their education system. So I think I would like to just have people reflect on that statement for a bit, add any comments or thoughts or wordsmithing. Did we capture, and let me tell you, Sarah and Aaron spent a lot of time. I just kind of like threw out one little statement, and they really massaged it out to this statement. And so I'm just curious what people think of that, and if you have it in front of you, some people are more visual than audio, and so I think I would just like to open it up and see if people have any discussion.
Timmy, this is Liz. What email is that attached to? Because I don't see it in any of my stuff.
The one that Aaron sent out this morning, it's at the bottom of it. Thank you for the reminder. It also, I think, was it just today or you also sent it out? She also sent it out on Friday.
So this morning I sent out a reminder email, and inside the meeting agenda is the goal statement.
The meeting agenda? Okay.
Yes.
It's the second document from the bottom, mm-hmm. Right above facilitator.
Oh, that's Dina, you're on, right?
Yeah.
I thought I could recognize that voice.
Sorry.
No, glad.
On the meeting agenda? Am I just totally missing it here?
So we sent out the meeting agenda last week, and we did not yet have the goal statements in them. We finalized them over the weekend, and this morning I sent out an email, and the attachment should be labeled, I think, 8/19/17 meeting agenda, and inside that PDF document are the goal statements.
Oh, okay, let me see. Maybe this is the right one.
But if I need to read
so if you look at 9/39 email we received from Aaron.
I think it's a little confusing because in that email it says the second from the top document starts with 10.4.17 meeting agenda, but it's not that. It's the one that says 9.19.17 committee meeting.
Did you add it into the PowerPoint presentation already?
No.
Why don't you just resend it maybe? We'll just send that alone as a separate email to everyone. Aaron's pulling it up right now, and then everyone will have that right in front of them to look at without all the other things attached.
Okay.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Because I went through the one you sent last week, and I have those documents in front of me, and I thought I had seen all your emails. I guess I must have missed one.
Well, you know what? That happens with email. So, Erin asked me if I had gotten some information from her, and she said I sent it on September 5th, and that was the day after the holiday, and ASB had lost its domain for 24 hours, and so we lost a lot of emails that day, I'm afraid. So we know how that works sometimes.
Okay.
But she's working on it right now. Sorry about this.
Is Val on the call? Timmy?
I don't hear Val yet. We suspect that she's calling in, but she is out of state today.
Gotcha, because this is definitely her.
One of, yes, she was.
While everybody's waiting for that email, can I ask a question?
Sure, Tiffany.
So I got the statement, and we were talking about last time when we had concerns that those would also be noted. So when these are all together and we've kind of fleshed them out, is it going to be like a white paper kind of document, or how are these going to be presented?
That's a great question. From my understanding, Tiffany, we're going to be putting together, we have a template that the department has sent us, a PowerPoint, and we were going to ask folks on this committee if anyone would be willing to be the presenters of this to the group on the day that we all meet on the 4th. So our goal today will be not only to flesh this out, but to also begin to come up with some rationale behind it. So we will have, we'll flesh out the goal and then develop some rationale. And then, as I mentioned, we would hope that someone on this committee might step up and be the presenter of it to the group. Any luck, ladies?
So I was just able, Liz, to resend you that email with just the meeting agenda so that you have those goal statements in front of you. Was there anyone else who needed that document just resent to them? All right. I'm going to call that good then.
Okay. So, Liz, please let us know once you receive that so we know that you have it in your hands.
I got it.
Great. So now let's open it up, and we want to make sure we're capturing what this group as a whole thinks. And if people are having, if they're rah-rah and this is good, let us know. But if you also are just questioning or want to make some comment of concern, this is the time to do that, because we don't want to move forward with something that someone on this committee is uncomfortable with or wishes to at least have some discussion around.
Okay, so this is Tiffany. I'll jump in. I'm all for tribal sovereignty and the option and everything. My only concern is that I think there is a potential for unintended harm to some rural schools. And I don't think anybody would intentionally harm the schools, but just if we have schools that have multiple tribes in them, I'm thinking of my own at this point, and one of the tribe pulls out and compacts, that's really going to significantly, a lot right now. I look at our school and we're at an enrollment of 104, and if any one of the three tribes here pulled out and compacted education, that would have a very significant impact on funding for everybody. So I'm not against having it as one of our items, but I want to make sure that we have that out there as something that we've considered in discussing this.
Thank you, Tiffany, for bringing that up. Do others want to speak to that, or please feel free, and just identify yourself before you start to talk so we know who we're talking to.
This is Tim Parker. I would like to jump in and ask a little bit more questions on this. And as a teacher and someone who's very involved in the union, I've gone around and talked with this idea over the last, it's probably been over a month now since we first really got some teeth on it. And as I try to explain it to people, I can't explain it very well, and that's a problem. Because if I can't explain it well to people who are super involved, their first question is, what is the self-governance compact? What does that mean? And I don't have a lot of things to tell them. I can tell them Val's story about how it worked in the health field, but I don't know exactly what it means for schools in Alaska. I don't know what a self-governance compact would look like. I don't know how it would be different than what we currently have in areas. And I really do need more information in order to help explain this to others. So. that's all I have to say on that one.
Thank you, Tim.
This is Chuck. I think Tim makes a point that we definitely need to be able to articulate what an education compact would look like, and maybe there is some general parameters we could get as far as for discussion. I'm thinking that probably the closest thing we have to it now is some of our charter schools that operate under something of a compact. They're definitely public schools taking public dollars and delivering education, but they're, you know, they have their constituency is more narrow in focus, and they tend to have a specific area of education that they're targeting. But I think we could look to our charter schools to help with that. I guess the other thing that I wanted to say, other than identifying a framework through which the members of the compact would collaborate in the partnership to improve education for the students, so we'll have that compact, that I appreciated whoever said, you know, that they were concerned about an individual school here or there and how that may be impacted. And yeah, I mean, obviously that's a concern of all ours. We're all concerned about our schools, but I think in the long run, that cannot be our primary concern, that we won't affect a policy that is far better in the long run for kids, for the very kids we're trying to educate, that we will somehow be stymied because there may be a school under this that can't meet a minimum enrollment number. Because I think that will have to be balanced with, you know, a paradigm shift in how education is being delivered. And if it's in fact being delivered better, there will be uncomfortable changes along the way. I mean, they probably will be schools that are closed for various reasons, or simply continue to be used as education compact site schools. You know, I mean, they might not necessarily be closed, just operated under a whole new paradigm. But I think that's something that we have to be willing to discuss openly and say, yeah, that could happen. And are we okay with that if that's a necessary part of transforming education? Because the model that education looks like right now is not going to be the model that it looks like going forward if we do our job.
This is Tim again, I appreciate the comments by Chuck. Those are good. The idea of charter schools are a good one. They've been around a while. The problem with that, and this gets really technical, but if you say the word charter schools, a lot of people have a lot of different things come in their heads. I might mean one thing, and someone else might mean something else. The 31 charter schools we have in Alaska, the union believes that they are operating very well. They fit in within Alaska's system. They have a couple of the key components that we really look for, which is they're overseen by the local school board. They have a specific focus that is unique and not already offered in the school district somewhere. The members or the people who work at the schools can be members of the local bargaining unit. Those are some key components, and it's one of the reasons Alaska is looked at as a place where charter schools work. But if you look at charter schools around the country, you see a whole difference in many of the different ways that they've come out. Some are for profit, and some have gone into areas where they've really increased segregation. And I think there's some dangers out there. But, you know, I'm all about going about it smartly and with eyes wide open and trying to create something that's right. If you do look at our charter schools, though, the 31 we have in Alaska, some already have an Alaska Native focus. And they're in some of the larger cities. In Fairbanks, where I live, Effie Cochran is definitely in that focus and has had a lot of success in some really specific driven ways, which are really cool. There are schools in Anchorage that also have some focus, usually at the elementary level, and Effie Cochran's more secondary or high school level. Anyway, I think it's a great idea, Chuck, to look in that direction and think about what it could look like. And I think it's going to take a little work to figure it all out. But yeah, when I say it to members or to people around the state, that they often I'd say, "So what do you mean by a compact?" I mean, we could start with that as a definition, and we're starting to move somewhere. But I kind of wonder how it would look in rural Alaska, where if there is a single school site. I'm not sure what the difference is in a small village like that. I guess that's where I'll focus my question there. Maybe someone can help. Thanks.
This is Jerry, if I could share a thought. You know, moving forward with this recommendation will engage Alaskans in the very conversations that are coming up here. Our statutory and regulatory scheme will have to undergo significant changes to accommodate this recommendation if it moves forward. And if you advance this to the state board and they advance it on forward, that signals the system to begin the exploration. And as Commissioner Davidson has shared with us, in the case of health care, these are negotiated items, and so they will work themselves out over time, and how they look in one part of Alaska may be different than how they look in another part. So I think it's natural for us to have questions about this, but it's a little bit early to look at the specifics or ask how will this play out here or there. I think that's to be discovered and negotiated and worked out as we go forward. So the issue here is this recommendation a significant transformative recommendation that the group believes will send the public education system in a better direction? Thank you.
This is Carrie, and I wasn't quite clear, maybe I'm missing something, about how it would impact financially school compacting. So that was this, maybe I was wanting some clarification there. And then as far as charters, I know with charter schools in a very small, rural, remote school, that would be more challenging to have those opportunities for those students. So I'd like to explore that as well.
Okay, so I'll jump in there. This is Tiffany. I guess my specific concern that I was talking about, you take any number of schools across the state. Some are struggling for minimum enrollment to keep their school open, but some, there are different thresholds where you either get a bump in funding from the state or not. So like 101 is a magic number for a lot of our schools that we're like, okay, are we going to hit 101? Because as soon as we hit 100, we're at a lower level of funding for the school. And my concern is, I'm assuming that there are a number of schools like that throughout the state, and that could be a completely wrong assumption. I'm just speaking from what I personally know, is that if we had a tribe that compacted, you know, it's one thing if they compact it and they take over the school and it's one, you know, we're still moving forward with one school that's still serving everybody. But what if under that compact the tribe decided that they wanted to go in a completely different direction and we end up with two schools? Okay, and then you are significantly impacting all the students, whether they're going with a tribally compacted structure, which we're not even entirely certain what that would look like, or with the structure that's in place. And I'm just saying structure, not necessarily like the building, but just the way it's developed. There's, so their enrollment is going to drop, which is going to impact their funding. Somebody a little bit more eloquent might be able to explain that a little clearer than I, but that's just where I was coming from with that concern. I think that it has the potential to be a really good thing. I think I don't have a problem moving forward with the recommendation, and part of that's just because I have no idea what it looks like. I mean, like Val said at our last meeting, we have no idea what it's going to look like. We have no concept, and we know what it looks like with healthcare, but we don't know what it would look like for education. So it's a little hard to be for or against. It's hard for me to be afraid of some. I mean, I'm not afraid, but against it when I have this one concern, and I'm sharing it with you guys, but I think there's potential for some really great things, but I just don't know what it looks like.
And Tiffany, I really appreciate you stating that, because I think what this group has to remember is that we don't know what anything's going to look like, and that's really up for the department of, or the state board to figure out. And what this committee has to decide is, do we put, what does our recommendation to the department look like? What is it that we want them to take into consideration from there? So,
this is Liz. Can I share a few thoughts?
Please do.
You know, in thinking about our kind of our call to action and the power of transformation that is possible through this first recommendation. You know, I hear a lot of fear and concerns that people are expressing, and uneasiness. And I think that, you know, those are all well-founded, especially because we don't know what that will look like. But here's what I do know, is that I feel that same way about our current system. I feel the same way about the current system and the way that it's going. And it's kind of like being stuck between a rock and a hard place. Certainly doing the same thing that we've been doing has not yielded a good result. And one of the things that Val shared that I thought was really impactful for me was that how can we hold others to a standard we ourselves can't even reach? And so that felt very freeing for me, actually, as I, you know, because you try to put together the process of how this stuff will work, and quite frankly, even with the healthcare process, they did not know the power of what would result, the outcomes, the answers to all of these questions when they started. But they knew that continuing to have the IHS deliver the healthcare system would continue to result in our people being harmed. And sure enough, through the power of that transformation, through that hard work and that negotiation of kind of going through all of the challenges and concerns that people had through that process, you know, what has occurred? Well, at a very high level, our people are living decades longer than we did before. And our kids are immunized at a rate higher than any other group of children in the whole state. And on top of that, our tribal health system subsidizes the state by the tune of about $2 billion a year. And that doesn't include the infrastructure costs and funds to support those infrastructures, whether it's IT or bricks and mortar. Because that tribal health system has developed the way that it has. And so what I know to be possible is that when our tribes and our tribal communities are the decision makers and shaping what will work for us, it actually does in fact work for us better. Does it mean that it's problem free? Not at all. that it's challenge-free, not at all. But the transformation, just at the high level, was enough to make our leadership say, this is something we must commit to. We don't have all the answers, and it is scary. But at the same time, what we have now is unacceptable. And if we don't have a solution that's going to transform this system, this education system, besides tribal compacting in terms of what we're going to be putting forward, I think that we will have lost a really vital opportunity. Because this will move the conversation forward and help people move out of this whole paradigm that we've had around what public education systems should look like and what is actually good for people and good for our students and good for our communities. I think it will help not just our villages and our tribal communities, but it will help Alaskans overall, just the way our tribal health system has. I mean, you know, the state of Alaska has not had to really develop a public health system out in the villages. And that's been picked up by our tribal health system. And now also through cooperative agreements with the Veterans Affairs, now any veteran, native or not, can also be served in those health centers across the state. And, you know, there's just all kinds of unintended consequences that are beneficial that we could dream about as well in the process of thinking about what's the opportunity to really dive into what compacting will look like. It does take a long time to get people to the same place and to be able to talk through it. So I'm really appreciative of being able to have this forum to start, you know, really thinking it through and asking the hard questions. And I'm excited to be able to actually get into the process where we move from just the big ideas in this discussion to the actual how will it be implemented? How do we address the issues that teachers and unions might have? How do we address, like Tiffany was mentioning, the issue about the spread of funding? Or how could we actually change the statutes to effectuate a better landscape of education delivery to our communities that is actually, you know, centered in the communities themselves, owned by them? And, you know, all of those things, I think, work out through that compact process and the hard dialogues that go on leading up to them. So I'm excited for that, and I just wanted to say that I don't have all the answers for some of these questions either, but I know that we will come together across the table and negotiate those through that process. And I think that if we really step back and think about what else might be coming out of this Alaska Education Challenge, I'm not too sure if we were to remove this one, for instance, if what we're going to be putting forward is in fact transformational at all. You know, what other solutions or ideas? We haven't discussed anything else that really felt like it was even getting up to that point of being transformative in terms of a systems change. And so for me, thinking that this being the last meeting that we have, knowing we still have all kinds of unanswered questions, I just want to say that I don't have any heartburn at all being able to move forward with this being one of our, or maybe even the only recommendation that we move forward with. So anyhow, thank you.
Liz, thank you so much for those words. I think that it was eloquently said, so thank you very much.
This is James. Hey, and I'm of course, this is the only meeting I've joined, which, so tell me to be quiet if I'm, but what about, it only brings in Alaska Natives. Liz, you brought up the community. What if it was Alaska Native organizations, communities, and or regions? What if a community wanted to come together and, you know, put a compact together for their school, whether they're, you know, Alaska Natives or not? Just raising a question.
And I think those are all the what ifs, and that's the good thing, that if this committee moves forward with this as a recommendation, there's lots that the department or that the Board of Education will have to consider.
I think, Timmy, if I might address that as well, I think that that's one of the things that is actually a huge benefit for all of Alaska, is that when the three sovereigns, the tribes, the state government, and the federal government sit down to negotiate these kinds of things, it actually clears a pathway for having really concrete conversations about the extent of authority and kind of jurisdictional issues, liability issues, insurance issues, who covers what and how it will be covered. So all of those kinds of questions actually get scooped up through the negotiations process, and it allows for the utilization of those authorities in setting up and establishing how it might work out. So, for instance, in a village, for instance, if and I'll just speak about mine, and this is total hypothesis kinds of things. But if the organized village of Cake were to compact to design and run our community's education program, I don't think, based on where they're at and what they have an interest in doing, it would be, throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of a process. I think they would lean upon the partnerships that they have between the city, the village corporation, the school district, and utilizing the community to help inform and grow what that education system would look like, how it's underneath the tribe. And so I see the kind of the vital momentum of those partnerships being crystallized in a way that they haven't been utilized in the past, because the ownership is centered in the tribe itself. So from that perspective, I think that that's already a naturally included part. But if I think about your question from another perspective, and I don't know if this is what you were asking about, if it's a non-native community, like a city, they've already got their school district set up, and they just want to approach the way they're delivering it differently. That might be a little bit different. I don't know what the status of a compact relationship would be with a, I don't know what the correct lingo would be under the state law, but a city government being a subcategory of the state, they would already have that internalized structure there, so there would be no need for the city to separate itself from under the umbrella of the state's authority to utilize how it's already structured. So it might require that they come up with a different framing, so outside of a compacting process, come up with a different framing for how a community that's not that doesn't have a tribe in it would go about setting something up for themselves. Is that the kind of situation you're thinking about, a non-native community in Alaska?
No, I was more even thinking more generally. I mean, even if there was a community inside of a city that wanted to come together, they may be part of a school district, but it would almost be like Chuck was saying. I mean, where they could come together, whether there were natives or other non-natives, it really doesn't matter. If they came together and wanted to do something, when the wording is Alaska Native organizations, it implies that would be as far as it reaches. And I would just bring the issue up. Maybe you want to make this goal a little broader. I don't know. That was just raising the question.
This is Tiffany. If I may, I think one of the reasons we were focusing on Alaska Native is just the nation-to-nation level of governance. It's, I mean, like Liz was talking about,
It'd be different with the community, and I'm not saying that we have to limit it, but when we talk about compacting our native communities, they're nations, compacting on a government-to-government level. When we talk about individual communities, like if we have a separate community within a city, that's a different level of, I guess, organization.
Yeah, I think that if by community, if by community you mean the Airport Heights neighborhood in Anchorage wants to open its own school, is that what you mean by a community?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I would go back to what I was saying originally, and building off what Tiffany said. The difference is that the government-to-government relationship that exists and allows for the sharing of the responsibility across citizenship.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. And there could be, you know, what you're talking about could be part of the rationale that goes under this if we move forward with this. And so I want the conversation to keep going. I just want us to, I think what we need to be thinking about is the wording of this and then coming up with the rationale. I think coming up with the wording and is this what we want, and then coming up with some rationale for it. So I think we'll keep, let's keep talking till the break, which is about 12 more minutes and maybe 13 more minutes, and then we can take a break, think about it, and come back and get some focus around this.
This is Tim again. I'm not standing in the way of this idea. I think this is the right way to go. I think from a teacher perspective, the one thing that we always are looking for and that will yield great success for student learning, which is what our primary goal is when the parents are involved and the community is involved in the schools. And we have that in lots of places around Alaska. And when we see successful schools, we almost always see a strong parallel between parent involvement and community involvement. And when I see the word compacting and kind of hear what it's being described, that's what I'm picturing, is that the parents and the community are taking extra interest in what's going on and really trying to connect what's going on in the school to their community values and making sure those values are being represented there. And I know that's kind of getting to the next one a little bit with the cultural values, but community and cultural values can be one and the same. And I think we should move forward with this. I think that we'll figure out the pieces that we need to figure out, what it looks like in a larger city, what it looks like in a smaller town on the road system potentially, and what it looks like in remote areas of Alaska. I'm not scared by that. And I think when Jerry was kind of framing it for us a little bit, it's like, hey, is this an idea we want to move forward with? Yes, I think that's where we are. I think it needs to be worked on a little bit. But as we get towards the rationale, I hope we consider putting things like, this is all about getting parent involvement and getting the community connected to its schools in real, real ways. And when that happens, it almost always equals success. And I have been to lots of schools so far this year. I was just in Skagway recently. They have one of the strongest parent involvement loops that I've ever seen inside of a school system of 120 kids. It's really dynamic and strong. Earlier that same week, I was in Metlakatla, where they are getting there, and they're having some pretty darn good success with some of their students. They had a graduating class of 15 last year, and 13 of the students are going on to some pretty cool things, a lot of technical career CTE things, but also there's one student accepted to Stanford, another one at Dartmouth. So those are some pretty amazing successes for small schools. I think the other thing that we should consider adding in the developing the rationale, and it's something that Val had brought up in her explanation in our previous conversation, which is about the potential access to additional resources. That's something that we need to continue to explore. It's obviously something that's worked super well for the health system, as we saw that develop and thrive. And one of the reasons why it can be even more successful in its delivery is that there's access to additional resources. I'm not positive what those may look like in education. It'd be great to hear how somebody explain what they see happening in terms of schools and additional resources that might come into play in a compacting situation. But I think it belongs in the rationale, and it needs more explanation. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate you starting to get the thought around the rationale, because, again, as we move forward, that will be our next most important piece.
This is Chuck. So, yeah, thanks, Tim, for those comments. You know what? Yeah, I am full support of this. Our strategic priority, you know, being the Tribal and Community Ownership Committee, is to inspire that ownership. So it seems to me like our broad framing of this is that the state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and the tribes by empowering them to take greater responsibility for improving the educational achievement, you know, outcomes for tribal students. I think we just need a big overarching, you know, like Jerry said, we're gonna need some legislation to change a few laws, but we need kind of a, you know, what it is kind of where we're doing with this type of a statement, and I think that's what I think we're doing, is we are this state tribal compact affirms our commitment as a state to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and the tribes, by empowering them to take greater responsibility for improving the educational achievement outcomes for tribal students. And then, you know, then how that looks like, well, there's so many ways that could look like. You know, it could be the individually recognized tribes negotiating directly with the state when they want to start a school. Obviously, there'll be parameters set in place, you know, of what that looks like. And there's, you know, obviously there will have to be a lot of work of getting down into the policy. But I think if we're just looking at what's our purpose now, I think we have a great purpose. And then, you know, the policy about state statutes, compliance, exemptions, you know, we already have great legislative framework in the law now that discusses policy, compliance, depending on the type of school you're in, exemptions, certain schools are exempt from certain things. And there are things that everybody has to comply with no matter what. I don't think we have to figure all that out now, but I think we've got a great overarching purpose to move forward with.
All right. Well, I thank all those thoughts, and I appreciate it, and I know that Aaron and Sarah are sitting here trying to capture everything. Are there other – I guess maybe the best question to ask, is there anyone that is opposed? Because this would be the time to talk up if you are in objection or opposed to us putting forward this recommendation as one of our goals for transforming education in our state. Now's the time to talk. All right, hearing none, it sounds like everyone is in agreement with that. What I'd like to do then is take a 10-minute break, and we'll come back right after 2 o'clock. And I want you, while you're on your break, besides going to the restroom and grabbing a bite to eat, to think about, and we've already started to capture some of the rationale, but it's up to us now to put the rationale around this. And we're going to read back, Aaron's going to read back to you the ones that we've kind of picked up and heard. We keep pointing to each other as people say things like, oh, capture that. So we'll read those back and then start with those as a starting base, and if we need to add more, we will. So we'll take a quick break, 10 minutes, and we'll see you back. Yeah, 2:05. All right, we're about to start back up. We'll give everyone just another minute to get back to the table. I'll turn off my alarm so it doesn't beep, beep, beep. Seconds. Okay. So as we come back together, Aaron and Sarah and I have been sitting here discussing some things, and I just want to remind this group that in the next hour and 50 minutes, we need to come up with our goal and our rationale to present on October 4th, as well as select who might be the presenters of this to the group on the 4th. We're not going to meet again to wordsmith it. We're not going to, we may be able to give a few little input in writing back if we want to change a the to a were or something, but we're moving forward on that today. And so, Aaron, did you want to share a little what you were thinking and talking about?
Sure. What I wanted to do was just reread the goal statement of the committee, the recommendation as it sits now, and then read some of the rationale that Sarah and I captured from your comments right before the break. So the recommendation as it stands now from the committee is to provide tribes and Alaska Native organizations the option to enter into self-governance compacts with the state of Alaska to gain more autonomy in the management and delivery of their education system.
And I think what I want to point out on that, and I want to make sure everyone heard, the word optional. And that's a key word, because we're recommending that it is an option. So I just want to clarify that with everybody.
Thanks, Timmy. And then some of the rationale that Sarah and I heard really fell into kind of two buckets, which actually is very telling for the committee's previous work. One really resonated with family and parent engagement, and the other rationale really centered on community involvement and partnerships and cultural values. And so as the committee moves forward finalizing their rationale, I know it's been a dialogue back and forth about is the idea of cultural values and partnerships, are they standalone transformational recommendations? And I'll throw this out to the committee to think about, that perhaps they become part of the rationale for this particular recommendation, and they help bolster this recommendation. So here's some of what we heard. It encourages parents and communities to take an extra interest in what's going on in their school. This is all about getting parent involvement and getting communities connected to their school in real ways. There's a potential access to additional resources. By affirming the state's commitment to honor government-to-government relationships, this recommendation will improve educational achievement for all students. So that's some of the rationale that we heard right before the break, and I'll just open it up to me if anyone has a reaction to any of that rationale language, or if you have
comments or thoughts or even any other rationale you'd like to have added.
This is Carrie. Could you repeat you initially said the takeaway goal was, could you repeat that one more time?
Absolutely. So the recommendation for the committee as it stands now is provide tribes and Alaska Native organizations the option to enter into self-governance compacts with the state of Alaska to gain more autonomy in the management and delivery of their education system.
Thank you.
This is Dina, and I, you know, this may be implicit in there, or it may even be explicit, but I think one important rationale is that the cultural knowledge really rests with the tribes and not with the state board or the state deed, or, you know, I think the more local these things are and the more community-based they are while still maintaining standards that are set by the state, the more effective they're going to be.
Thank you, Dina. That was great language, and I absolutely think it needs to be part of the committee's rationale.
We don't want to leave anything for assumption. We
right.
want to get these things down there. Did anyone want to reflect on the rationale that Aaron read originally?
To me, this is Geralyn.
Hi, Geralyn.
I think the word optional should be there for sure because there's some villages, unlike how successful CAKE is with their communities being involved and all that, there's some communities that struggle with their governments and how if we force this upon communities that already have struggling tribal governments, it would not work very well. So I think that having that option for each tribe or community is a big factor in this. Plus, one thing that I keep in mind is that
our committee here has really good ideas and discussions, and even if we bring forward our suggestions, we need to keep in mind that they have to be bought, you know, they have to be accepted by the board in, before they are passed.
Geralyn, thank you for your comments, and we appreciate you echoing your words out there, and especially about the word optional.
Thank you.
So, go ahead.
Are we, I just wanted to check exactly what we're doing now. Are we looking for rationale for the overarching purpose that we've identified?
Yes. That's exactly what we're working on right now. For the one, and I think that the bigger question then becomes, because we did have a second one, but as we sat here during the break looking at that, the second goal almost becomes rationale for our first and our first goal, and we do not, you know, Jerry, please confirm, we don't have to have more than one if we choose not to, correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay. Jimmy, this is Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Was someone still talking?
No, please don't.
Wait, Liz. Go ahead, Liz.
What,
go ahead.
Was that Chuck?
Yeah.
I thought I heard you trying to say something.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was just saying that, you know, if I was to say a rationale, that I think not just our committee, but I think it's where most people in the state are at who are paying attention to education and what's happening to our educational product coming out of our various schools is that we are looking for good ways that the tribes and the state can build this strong and meaningful relationship in order to undertake this important work of education. And you know, I think about the test scores that just came out, and it you know, our schools in Northwest and Southwest Alaska, just we can't justify that kind of disparity in scores. And so, like whoever said earlier, you know, I'm a little bit afraid of change, but I'm not nearly as afraid of what's going on now. And I think part of our rationale is that we recognize that this needs to be strengthened. This not only the empowerment of tribes, but the state and the tribe needs a vehicle for a strong and meaningful relationship to undertake this important work of education. And tribal compacting is a tool for that. And, you know, it will evolve over time as the tribes get the resources to take this on. I don't think we should put out a false expectation that suddenly everybody's ready to go, but because it is optional, as they are ready, they're going for it.
Thank you, Chuck.
And Timmy, if I may?
Yes, please.
I was thinking about some of the things that I heard reflected back in the rationale that I think might actually be really good in the goal statement itself. And I think it was Chuck, before we went on break, who used some phrasing around the incorporation or the goal being to maximize and develop the partnership between tribes and the state on a nation-to-nation basis. Something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'm sure, I know you guys have been keeping track of everything, so I would actually want to wordsmith the goal statement a little bit, and then with the rationale based on the comments that people have made here, but it also goes back to when we even first got together in person,
And I think that the rationale can actually pull in some of that stuff from every successive meeting that we've had. I feel like we've continued to talk about and refine the rationale behind this goal statement. And I would hate to just sum up based on this conversation when I think we have some really great language from previous gatherings that would be really helpful for the rationale as well.
Yeah, this is Chuck again. I don't mean to talk too much, but I think that, you know, whether we say nation to nation or government to government, there are meaningful distinctions. I had said that our state-tribal compact should affirm the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and the tribes by empowering the tribes to take greater responsibility for improving the educational achievement outcomes for tribal students. And I was intentionally using that because I think with the term nation, we tend to be talking more about people and groups of people where I'm thinking the entities that will actually be negotiating to start schools will be federally recognized tribal governments. Some of them will be have more of the form of villages. Some of them, you know, will be native communities. Some of them will be, you know, called tribes by name. But when we use the term nation, at least the way I've always understood it, it's talking about peoples and groups of peoples versus a government structure. And it is going to be, you know, the state government in partnership with tribal government. So hopefully I'm making sense. And I don't mean to argue too much over semantics if it's not that important.
Thank you both for your comments. We're sitting here taking the notes and talking through if we need to change the goal or just add those statements as rationale. Anyone else have any other thoughts around specific rationale that we should include when we present this out to the group? Such a quiet work group. All right, well, hearing none, I guess Aaron, you were just going to say something too, Aaron?
Well, I appreciated Liz and Chuck's comments, and I was trying to find a way to add to the goal statement the language about maximize and develop the partnership between tribes, Alaska Native organizations, and the state. And I was, because I do see it as part of the rationale. I guess I go back to could we phrase it to say, just kind of tack that on to the beginning of the goal statement? So the goal is maximize and develop the partnership or partnerships between tribes, Alaska Native organizations, and the state of Alaska by allowing or by administering the option of entering into self-government compacts or something like that. Liz, does it make sense to add that to the beginning of the goal statement, or does that confuse the wording? I know the committee before expressed strong opinions about making sure that the goal statement was very strong in its wording and not wishy-washy, so I don't want to confuse it by adding additional language. I guess I'll just get your reaction to that.
It's hard for me to visualize language without having it in front of me, so I think a marriage between some of this language would be really great for the goal statement. And I, if I heard Chuck correctly, he was preferring government to government as opposed to nation to nation, which, you know, I'm fine with as well. But in thinking about what part, I guess it's because that whole statement he made before break seemed to capture a lot of it in a really more impactful kind of succinct statement. There might be some parts that we could, you know, flesh out with this other version that you guys have here too, because I think that the short but sweet and powerful version is kind of a marriage between those two. While also making sure to be equitable in the level of governance, because they're equals. One is not under the other.
Okay.
And we have to pay due respect to that level of governance, those three sovereigns, and specifically in this case, the two, the tribes and the state government.
Right.
And so it'll help me. I can wordsmith better when I have it written and when the words are in front of me. And I think other people probably feel the same too. They want to see it on written down so we can move things around.
Right. Yeah, we're trying to do the same thing here and see it visually on a screen, knowing that today's the last, you know, meeting to finalize this language. And so it's to kind of marry the two together. What about adjusting the goal statement to say maximize and develop government-to-government relations by providing tribes and Alaska Native organizations the option to enter into self-governance compacts with the state of Alaska to gain more autonomy in the management and delivery of their education system? Is that a start?
That's a start. I guess I want to play with the phrasing from that front piece that Chuck had mentioned. There's a part of what he said that I didn't hear repeated back yet.
Okay.
Do you guys have the word for word part?
I don't, because we can't type as fast as he's talking. Unfortunately, it is being recorded, but we have to wait till the meeting's done to go back and review the recording. So I'm going to put Chuck on the spot one more time. If he can eloquently restate it so that we can try and capture it verbatim.
Yes, well, I probably should have been smart and written it down. so I apologize. So I think what I said is that the state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes by empowering tribes to take greater responsibility for improving the educational achievement outcomes for tribal students, or something like that.
Okay, the state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between tribes by empowering tribes to take greater responsibility, and then I locked in.
Yeah, between the state and tribes. The government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes by empowering tribes to take greater responsibility for improving the educational achievement outcomes for tribal students.
Okay, outcomes for tribal students. Okay, I think we have it now. Thank you, Chuck, for being willing to restate that more than once for us. Okay, so I'm just going to read it back one more time. The state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes by empowering tribes to take greater responsibility for improving the educational achievement outcomes for tribal students.
This is Dina. So the one thing that's missing there is the optional word. But it does say allowing and not requiring, so maybe that isn't necessary.
Right, thank you. I want to fit that in there somewhere, because also as it reads, it is
a statement. It's a description of what tribal compacts can do. So I guess I still see it as really strong rationale language. I'm trying to find a way to blend it into a recommendation.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I love the language, and we've got it here. I'm just trying to either blend it into the recommendation statement that we have, or have the committee agree that this becomes just part of the rationale language. So that's what I'm trying to talk through.
This is Carrie. That sounded more like the rationale you had started to talk a little bit. You stated the goal, then you added at the beginning about the partnerships, which I think the partnerships are inherent. And then at the very end, it talked about the compact. That I felt like it may have muddied it a little bit, where that should have been at the very top for the goal to state it.
This is Liz. Can you read it back a little bit slower?
Yes. The state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes by empowering tribes to take greater responsibility for improving the education achievement outcomes for tribal students. And so again, I think it's a very strong rationale statement. I'm just trying to figure out either how it can be adjusted to become a recommendation statement, or how it can be blended with the existing recommendation statement that we have.
What is the existing statement? I'm sorry, this is Chuck.
The existing statement, so the recommendation that the committee has is provide tribes and Alaska Native organizations the option to enter into self-government compacts with the state of Alaska to gain more autonomy in the management and delivery of their education system. So that is the recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, I like the recommendation. I think the other part is just a guiding principle behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That becomes the rationale. And one of the attachments that I sent to the committee, well, two actually, but the big one is the PowerPoint presentation. There's a template in the committee, and we're going to talk about it later this afternoon, but the committee will present their recommendation and rationale to the full, all committees in the public on October 4th. And so the template that we've been given by Jerry as part of that facilitator guidance for goal and rationale development, that PDF that's attached, it's set up in this way. So the goal statement and then the rationale behind the goal or recommendation statement. And so that's what we're trying to hone in on today, is fine-tuning what exactly that recommendation is, and then what's the rationale that supports it. Does anyone else have any thoughts on the recommendation statement as it's written on today's agenda, and then this rationale language that we've been working on fine-tuning?
This is Liz. I'm wordsmithing on my computer as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the way that it's phrased that's rubbing me the wrong way.
The goal statement as it stands now?
Yeah, and even the additional language. There's some really good stuff there, so I'm trying to minimize. I'm just trying to take out the stuff that seems not relevant to the direct recommendation. So I'm trying to get to a succinct statement. If you folks are okay with me wordsmithing,
of course.
A few minutes while you talk about something else, or the next one, if you're okay with that, I'd like to move things around a little bit first.
Yeah, and one thing that we would propose, Sarah and I were just looking at the goal statement, goal slash recommendation statement, whatever we want to call it, because I agree, I think it could be even more succinct, and if that's the one you're wordsmithing on, we could just cut off the end and say, provide tribes and Alaska Native organizations the option to enter into self-governance compacts with the state of Alaska, period. That is the recommendation. And then the whole part about gaining more autonomy, the management, that is described in the rationale language that we've been discussing with Chuck's language.
I like that the direct goal statement. I mean, I think that is powerful. We're speaking. Do we also need to have a similar thing that's directed at the tribes? Do we need to also, or is it inherent in that statement that we're authorizing the Department of Education and Early Development to enter into state tribal education compacts? Do we need to say that, or is that goes without saying? But that's our recommendation, that the, you know.
That's a good question. As it stands now, it just says State of Alaska as a government entity. Do we feel like we need to be more specific beyond that? I mean, part of that is the discussion of, you know, how it will be
right.
developed.
That may be, yeah.
Yeah.
It may be unnecessary, yeah.
And I think maybe one way to remedy that is, Sarah was pointing out to me that if we cut off the second half of that, we're losing the word education, and so if we change it to say, provide tribes and Alaska Native organizations the option to enter into self-governance education compacts with the state of Alaska, does that help kind of remedy that concern? I mean, if we make sure the word education's in there and state of Alaska is capitalized as a government entity, that's what's implied. Because, again, we don't know what this would look like moving forward. I mean, we're charting into unknown territory, which is exciting. Yeah.
Hi, this is Zach. Sorry, I've been trying to input, but my phone is backwards here in Bethel in my office, so when the mic is, I thought it was on and it was muted, actually. But I do need to leave. I like generally where the discussion is going, but I do have a couple concerns. I guess I'll just wait until I can see what's happening. From an email after this meeting to see what the final recommendations come out as when they're wordsmithed with their rationale.
I would encourage you, if you can, to state what your concerns are, because really it's going to be hard to give any input.
I really can't. I need to be teaching in like 5 minutes and I have to drive somewhere. So
okay.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Bye.
This is Chuck. When we talked about rationale, does our committee need to be prepared, you know, to maybe state a couple things that may be clear to us, but maybe not clear to you know, the larger audience of what we're doing? This transformative recommendation will really get at, you know, the whole history of having an educational system that's a one-size-fits-all, a very Eurocentric paradigm, and it does address, you know, this new transformational approach gets at the diversity of worldviews and the ways of knowing things, you know, that it is the indigenous cultures that have ways of knowing that are outside of the classical, when we think of knowledge as only residing in the hard sciences only, it is our indigenous cultures that have taught us that you can know things in many different ways outside of, you know, our very Eurocentric paradigm. So I think even if we don't have a, you know, it may be that, you know, we don't have to get into the boarding school era, you know, and all the problems that conspired in the past, but I do think we should have a few talk points on this for why this is so important.
Thank you, Chuck, for that. This is Erin. What I'll add in is part of the time we set aside at the end of today's meeting is to talk through exactly that. What will your presentation look like on October 4th? And as I mentioned, there's a template slide deck attached to the email that gives the layout of what where the goal statement will go and where the rationale language will go. But then the committee has, you have a half hour to present your recommendations to everyone, all the other committees, the public, you know, everyone who's there to attend. And so saving about, you know, 10, 15 minutes for Q&A, you'll have that time to present and put together those talking points. And so part of the agenda on October 4th in the morning before committees present is an hour work session. And that is your time not to fine-tune this language, but to actually run through your presentation, hone in on any of those talking points that you as a committee really want to make sure that you hit on.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Liz. I think I might have some language.
Great.
Go ahead, Liz.
So for the goal, in affirmation of the government-government relationship between tribes and the state of Alaska, create the option for self-governance compacting between the state and tribes for the delivery of education by tribes or tribally empowered Alaska Native organizations. And then a rationale building off of that would be
just let me make sure, Liz, can I just stop you for 1 second? We want to make sure we captured it correctly. So.
Okay.
We were typing like they were typing like bandits in the room.
Okay.
All right.
You want me to read it back?
Well, let her read what maybe. Well, either way, Erin, what would you prefer?
I actually think I got it. So, Liz, let me read it and just correct me if I missed a word. In affirmation of the government-to-government relationship between tribes and the state of Alaska, create the option for self-governance compacting between the state and tribes for the delivery of education by tribes or tribally empowered Alaska Native organizations.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Could
and
you
then
email that? That'd be great.
And then a rationale statement for that would be the state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes in order to realize better education outcomes for students.
Okay, so then the rationale, I'm just going to repeat it back. The state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes in order to realize better education outcomes for students.
Yes. So okay. I took out the parts of those other phrasing options that seemed to infer some inferiority and also some inequity.
Okay. So what I'd like to do is just read them one more time for the full group and then get folks' reactions on the new language that's been proposed.
And Erin, is there a possible way to reply all and send this
yes.
out in an email so that people that are more visual can look at it? Thank you.
Yes. So I'll go ahead and read it first and then I'll copy and paste it in an email for folks to take a look at as well, if that works. So the potential new goal statement or recommendation statement is an affirmation of the government-to-government relationship between tribes and the state of Alaska,
create the option for self-governance compacting between the state and tribes for the delivery of education by tribes or tribally empowered Alaskan Native organizations. The rationale is the state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes in order to realize better education outcomes for students.
This is Carrie. I like that, but do we need to have the words in order to and cut that out and just say to provide?
Or to realize.
Oh, okay. So to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes to realize better education outcomes for students.
Okay.
Or to provide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the rationale, Liz. I think it's good. I still was having trouble keeping up with the goal statement, though.
We're gonna send it out to everyone, Chuck. Just give us a second or two here. We'll get those out
all
to
right.
people.
Awesome. Thank you.
And this is Dina, and I love the way you've changed the recommendation, because I think it does just assume parity, which is what it should. I guess the second statement to me doesn't feel as much like rationale as it does just sort of expanding on the goal. Or maybe a little more detail on how the goal is going to be achieved. But again, I'm a very visual person, so I might have to read it.
I look at the rationale as kind of the guiding principle for legislation that has to fall to carry this out. If
okay.
I was to roll this out as a bill, I would start with that.
Okay. The ladies here, to send this to everyone, we're just going to do a quick 5-minute. We're going to check out and get this sent out to everyone. If you need to run and do something, please do. If you want to keep talking, please do. But we're just going to, we've got to pull things together here to get it mailed off to all of you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I know I just received a ping that I got the email with the wording, and I appreciate Aaron's quick typing here to get it out to everyone. So hopefully everyone can check their device if they have one in front of them. Carolyn, I'm going to send it, or did you get it? And if not, I'm going to CC it to the other thing you and I have been talking on, and we will have everyone have a chance to read through this and then give some input as we move forward.
Timmy, this is Tiffany. I haven't got it yet.
Oh, Tiff, I'll send it to you as a text because I know you'll get those from me, right?
Yes, sounds good.
Okay, give me one second.
P-check.
Sorry, sometimes it's her internet. Just sent.
Okay.
Let me know if you once you get it. Oh, and now it's telling me what the Hades.
And Tiffany, I just resent it to you as well, so hopefully it shows up here soon. One item that Sarah and I were also trying to wordsmith here in the rationale is taking the language from the second goal statement on the agenda, because we talked about that language really supports this recommendation. So to add on to the first sentence about the affirmation of the commitment, we could also add language that says the state tribal compact supports, respects, and encourages the embedding of cultural values in Alaska's education system to ensure that our students have a strong self-identity and ties to their history and community. I'll just throw that out there for the committee to weigh in on as well. I think that language could help, could be added to the rationale. So,
this is Liz. Oh, go ahead.
So I was just saying I finally got the email. Thank you. Go ahead, Liz.
I was just, I think I want to articulate something, and I don't know if other people feel the same way. I just want to make sure that in the goal statements with the language changes that I suggested that are here, that delivery of education doesn't mean restricted to what the state defines it as. So if we need to add some other verbiage there so it doesn't get bound up in what's already, you know, what's already existing, I don't want that to be interpreted. I don't want that word to be interpreted that way. So I just want to share that that's some tension I have around this, the wording, and make sure that way of saying it, so that it's not restrictive. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying, and it's definitely appreciated that was stated. This might be dipping a little bit too much into what the state board will do with our recommendation, but certainly if others have that same feeling, let's discuss that.
You know, it's interesting. This is Dina. The delivery of education, for some reason, that's bothering me a little bit also. I guess I have a couple of thoughts around why it might be bothering me. One is I feel like we should explicitly say elementary and secondary or pre-K through graduation or something to make it clear what levels we're talking about and open it up to the younger ages more as well. But it feels like it should be something rather than delivery of education, it should be educating our children, or it should, I don't know, delivery of education feels industrial to me.
the power of, this is Liz, the power of self-governance over education is the ability for the tribes to define what, how, and in what ways it should be conducted, including, you know, the creation aspect of it, the defining of it. So mm-hmm. it's not just the delivery of an education system that already exists. So that sounds, I think that's the heartburn I had, was it sounds too much like kind of 638 contracting as opposed to compacting. So I guess building off of what Dina said too, it does feel a little too restrictive.
Maybe it should put that creation language into it. Contact between the state and tribes for creating a better education system, but that's not what we want to say.
This is James, and I would, you may want to go back and just define what education is. It's not necessarily rationale, because that's the backstory that I know the state board's going to want, or the notes on how you came up with what you came up with. Because we're going to have to figure out, you know, what your intent was, and your base, that's what you're talking about, is the intent. So even if you put down a definition of how you're defining education, I think that would definitely help.
This is Carrie, and the other thing that I keep thinking about, it, I don't think it would go in the rationale or in the goal statement, but somewhere, because when I've had discussions, people are unclear about compacting. We really should define that so that everyone understands clearly when it's being communicated. What does that look like? What is that?
Well, and again, I think what we have to remember is that this is the recommendation going forward to the Board of Ed, and the Board of Ed will take that responsibility. We just need to, and I'm not disagreeing with anyone, I just don't want us to all jump ahead of where we are and remember that we're making a recommendation to the Board of Education, and yes, and that's...
Hi, Timmy, this is Rachel. I have to jump off, I have another meeting, but that the definition or the description of what tribal compacting was one of my concerns as well. I feel like if we're giving a presentation on a term that 75% of the room may not understand, that maybe those educators haven't been exposed to how tribal compacting works or what it even is. I feel like a definition would be important as part of the slideshow presentation.
Thanks, Rachel.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you all for your all your efforts. I'm not able to come and see you all again in October because I will be down in Kodiak. But it's been great working with all of you, and I'll keep watching the presentation as it comes. Thank you.
Timmy, this is Jerry.
Jerry.
Yes, Jerry calling in. I think James's comment about further definition would be most helpful. This recommendation, as it goes forward, will, as we've discussed already, will result in significant legislation. And I think the more we can clarify up front for the state board, the better that is. And as Chuck said, it becomes information for legislators to use as they craft legislation to address this. But I would envision that we're going to embark in a very extensive effort to unpack what this means for Alaska Natives, and so that any legislation or regulation changes address, or at least first of all understand and appreciate and attempt to address the concerns that are being expressed. It's a wonderful opportunity to move forward with this, and I believe that everyone that I'm aware of would want to do this in the very best possible way. So I think if we can do a better job at defining now and anticipate that as we go forward, there will be significant opportunities for additional input. as I look at what's working through the legislature in Washington State right now about compacting for education, tribal compacting for education, it's extensive work, and it's bringing forth a lot of ideas that haven't been expressed and need to be expressed that are being factored into this. So I'm hopeful that we can work through, and I'm anticipating that we will work through misunderstandings or lack of understanding of what this legislation means to folks as we develop it. Thank you.
So one of the things I'm thinking as I sit here is that I think what I'm hearing from many is that we do need to define what the definition of compacting, because Tim brought it up early in the meeting, others have mentioned it, and Rachel just mentioned it on her exit. So I don't know if that wording goes right into the goal or if it's an asterisk with a definition that follows it, but I do think that we do need to come up with a definition for that. And so I guess I would honor anyone who would like to throw out something for us to begin talking about as far as the definition goes.
This is Liz. How about something like, the tribes, or self-governance means that the tribes exercise their rights in partnership with the state to assume the responsibility and associated funding. And here I'm reading straight from some legal definitions of self-governance. So assume the responsibility and associated funding to carry out programs, functions, services, and activities that the state of Alaska would otherwise be obliged to provide. So in this context, we're talking about education, so we could work that in there as well.
Thank you for providing us something to discuss, Liz.
Yeah, so it would be like the self-governance over education means that the tribes exercise, so that might help at least put it into the scope of the educational discussion.
You know, so in the public safety, you know, we have some examples in our justice system here in Alaska. Under about 4 years ago, we started allowing various misdemeanors, crimes against persons and property crimes to be handled by tribes, which was great. And that is a great example of a negotiated agreement between two sovereign entities that resolves questions of overlapping jurisdictional responsibility, such as law enforcement, I just mentioned, in this case it'd be education. And we also see it with, you know, other rights. But I think that we should keep it very simple in explaining it, that a tribal state compact is a negotiated agreement between two sovereign entities that resolves questions of overlapping jurisdictional responsibility. In this case, it's education, where both are responsible. And these agreements are regarded as the most binding legal agreements possible, and And I think in the big picture, just like ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Act, and other examples, the most federal legislation encourages states and tribes to negotiate, you know, allocation of authority issues between them in many situations. And that's what we're doing, is we're using tribal companies. Jerry pointed out the state of Washington. I think there's like 7 or 8 states that do this. We certainly wouldn't be coming up with a brand new concept here. It's a very proven concept. And if we got too far down into the weeds of what does it look like, we would probably be getting into some of the negotiated agreement, right? Because I think, you know, Liz brought up some good points, and Dina brought up some really good points. And I was thinking, you know, we're kind of more on the purpose end of things, of, you know, what our goal is and what our guiding purpose is behind the goal. When we talk about policy and, you know, what are these compact schools exempt from? What statutes? What compliance? You know, the curriculum and basic education compliance, instructional staff, you know, background checks, non-discrimination laws, state audits, and then exemptions. You know, what are they exempt from? I kind of see some of that as it is getting down into the weeds, but I do think it is good for us to say what we want, what we would like to see. And I personally would like to see as much freedom as possible for these schools to, well, certainly an overarching structure is needed, that they would be very free to produce and implement an educational structure that is unique to their needs. And, you know, and if they are not ultimately providing a product where those children are successful in the world, either in their communities, whatever that world looks like, I mean, parents won't support it. They absolutely will not support a failing system. And because they want their kids to be able to function in this world, I think that's ultimately so. But if we try to spell it all out and get too much like we do with a normal school, we could be taking away the very liberty that we're trying to bring about here. And so I would be all for saying that if it would be our intent that we would allow or we would encourage these tribal compacts to provide maximum freedom in the ability to deliver the education desired by the very tribes who are applying for these schools. And obviously there would be an application process and a process for review and assurances and all those things. But anyway, does anybody else think that way?
Well, there was a lot said there, Chuck, and we were trying to capture everything you were saying. I do want to toss that out there, and I guess we only have 50 more minutes left, and we need to kind of move it forward. And so one thing I want to think about or know about, have we decided that the other goal will simply, that we're only putting one goal forward and that the other goal that we had kind of thrown around will be just included as rationale under this one? And Aaron, could you read the other one just a little bit to see what people are thinking?
Sure. So the other goal statement the committee has been considering the past several meetings was around cultural values, but we didn't have decided on the language and if we wanted to stick with that. I know partnerships had previously kind of fallen off as a final goal. So
the language that we propose to the committee to react to is to support, respect, and encourage the embedding of cultural values in Alaska's education system to ensure that our students have a strong self-identity and ties to their history and community. So that language appears to be part of the rationale for the compacting recommendation, but it would be good to confirm with the committee that if we are moving forward with just this one goal, because if not, if we feel that we still have a separate transformative goal around cultural values, I want to make sure we have time to work on that one.
This is Dina again. I agree with what Liz said at the beginning, that I really think the compacting is the transformational idea we have. But I guess the reason in my mind to maybe keep that as a separate goal is if there are communities that don't choose to compact, or in larger communities where, I don't know why it wouldn't be possible in the larger school districts, but if for some reason it isn't or they choose not to, I still think that culture, you know, we have a lot of Native students here in Anchorage, and I'm sure there are percentage-wise as many in Fairbanks and the other communities, maybe not so much in the Natsu, but I think that cultural relevance piece is really important even if the ASD doesn't do anything around the compacting idea.
Anyone else have thoughts?
I'm fine. This is Chuck putting this, the goal number two, as a rationale, because to me it does fully support our primary goal of compact. So I would be good with that, and that might make it easier. Not that that's our only goal, but I do think by having it as part of the rationale. On the goal thing, I don't know if I could make a comment. The goal and the rationale, we currently have that, but it would seem to me that it would be a lot more, I don't know, forceful is the right word, maybe that's a bad word to say forceful, but direct and clear. If we just struck all the inaffirmation of the all the way through state of Alaska, and the goal was just create the option for self-governance compacting between the state and tribes for the delivery of education by tribal empowered Alaska Native organizations. So basically deleting everything after that first comma, because the rationale basically states that. The part that we're deleting above, or we're just kind of restating it in the rationale below. So in my mind, if we were to have a very succinct goal, we would just start with the word create the option for self-governance compacting, rather than kind of explaining what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chuck. This is Erin. That's really helpful for me.
This is Carrie. I like that too. And then in the rationale, we can say, why are we wanting to create this?
Mm-hmm.
So can you read that? Could you read that back if you with Chuck's edit?
Yes. So the goal or recommendation statement as it currently reads with Chuck's recommendation is create the option for self-governance compacting between the state and tribes for the delivery of education by tribes or tribally empowered Alaska Native organizations. And then the rationale picks up that affirmation sentence that we cut, because it states, the state tribal compact affirms the state's commitment to honor the government-to-government relationship between the state and tribes to realize better education outcomes for students. The state tribal compact supports, respects, and encourages the embedding of cultural values in Alaska's education system to ensure that our students have a strong self-identity and ties to their history and community.
Could I make an additional edit to the goal statement and actually shorten it even more? Kind of picking up on what everyone said here, so it would read,
create the option for self-governance compacting over education between the state and tribes or tribally empowered Alaska Native organizations, period.
Since we're, you know, obviously not under Robert's rules, but it would be Chuck, or who was it, Chuck that made the initial one? Yeah, Chuck, so what do you think of that editing? Did it honor what you had originally intended it to say? And are you okay with that suggestion?
Could you say that again, Liz?
Sure. So it would read, create the option for self-governance compacting over education between the state and tribes or tribally empowered Alaska Native organizations.
So we've moved some words around, but it's about the same length. And instead of saying for the delivery of education, we're saying over it, we're compacting over education.
Yeah, so that way we don't have to define or limit it or constrict any of the freedom between the states and tribes, the state and tribes to actually define what that means through the negotiation process. So kind of ripping off of what you said and what Dina said, so as not to muddy the waters and to not restrict anything from developing through that negotiation process, but to make it clear that this is the recommendation and the direction that we see as transformational for the state to go in.
Mm-hmm. Liz, this is Erin. I actually really like that because by balancing and putting back in that language over education, it then mirrors your definition because your definition starts with self-governance over education means. So that helps have consistency of language.
Any concerns?
I like that. I think it keeps it, as Liz said, super open and not restricted.
Very good.
All right. I'm hearing no more. Oh, wait. Did I hear a concern?
No. This is John Harmon. I just wanted to let folks know that school ended for me and I joined a couple minutes ago, but I really like what I'm hearing, so thank you.
Great. Thank you, John, for letting us know you're on the call. Appreciate it.
And Chuck, from a legislative perspective, you feel like the wording is good?
Well, I think it's a little bit semantics, but the important thing is that our committee feels good about it. We know what we're saying. I don't know that compacting over education is actual, so I'm kind of a grammar freak, and I don't know that that actually is correct to say it that way. That's why it wasn't, I mean, I totally support what Liz is saying, and I am rock solid on the maximizing the freedom and not getting caught up in a constrained definition, but compacting over education, I'm not quite sure that is correct way to say it.
Compacting education?
Compacting educational, so our Constitution requires, what is the constitutional requirement that the states do?
An adequate education for every child.
An adequate education for every child. So, yes. Compacting for education services. Well, I mean, we could leave it compacting over education, if I'm the only one that.
And now you're not the only one. I like what the intent is, but I thought it didn't fit quite well with me. But I was wondering if there's another word we can use that would mean the same thing, and maybe we could have someone kind of take liberty to that so that we don't hold up our time. And maybe put some ideas out there, but I don't have the fix right now.
Okay. So in my mind, the discussion is is using the word, the terms, the delivery of education, is that term confined? Because that's really what we're talking about, is if we talk about compacting between the state and tribes for the delivery of education, is there something inherently confining about the use of that term?
It's the word delivery that's restrictive.
Yeah. What about for providing education?
There you go. Between the state and tribes for providing, for providing education. Creating the option for self-governance contacting in between. Create the option for self-governance contacting between the state and tribes for providing education by tribes or tribally empowered Alaska Native education. Between the state and tribes for providing education. And if we don't like the delivery of education, we can say providing education. That is very broad.
And I'll just throw out there too, we were working on that definition, and so I know we don't want it to be limiting if we use the word delivery, which, I mean, either way, whatever word we choose, but if we choose to use the word delivery, we could make sure in the definition that self-governance delivery of education means, and then we define it so that we make sure that it's not restrictive.
That would work for me. I'm very sympathetic with the whole idea of how knowledge is transferred, how it's conveyed, you know, how it's distributed, however we want to say it. I think we could make it clearer in our definitions. I'm willing to go with whatever the group wants. I really am. I'm just thinking of this before other people besides just us internally. I think that it'll be more commonly understood if we talk about delivery of education.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because that's something that I think is easy for people to understand broadly.
So what if we said, Chuck, create the option for self-governance compacting for the delivery of education between the state and tribe or tribally empowered Alaska Native organizations? That's the goal statement. And then underneath that, before the rationale, would be the definition. Self-governance compacting or self-governance delivery of education means that the tribes exercise their rights, and then we carry through with Liz's suggested wording there.
Yeah, I love that.
How do others feel about that?
Can you read that again?
Sure. So the goal statement would say, create the option for self-governance compacting for the delivery of education between the state and tribes or tribally empowered Alaska Native organizations. Definition, self-governance delivery of education means that the tribes exercise their rights in partnership with the state of Alaska to assume the responsibility and associated funding to carry out programs, functions, services, and activities that the state of Alaska would otherwise be obligated to provide.
And this is John. You know, again, I'm late to the table here. I think it's really good. You know, two words that popped to mind to me when you read that part was oversight and management. But again, I think I have a good feel for where this is going. So again, those are two words you may want to look at or set on the table, but I just thought I'd throw them out there.
And just in case anybody is, I don't know that this matters, but there's an amendment somewhere about exactly what kind of education we are required to provide, but this is what Article 7 of our Constitution says. The legislature shall by general law establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of the state and may provide for other public educational institutions. Schools and institutions so established shall be free from sectarian control. No money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. So that's all it says about elementary and secondary.
Thank you.
And then this, thank you, Dina. And then this, our Supreme Court has ruled that that system of schools is K through 12. There was a case arguing that pre-K applied, and the court said no, it doesn't. I forget the case, but I know they made it clear it was K through 12. But anyway, I like that.
Okay, so I think we are really narrowing in on the goal, that the one goal we want to present and the rationale around it and the definitions, because that's a really important piece of the presentation. Knowing that, and this, and we will put it together in a presentation form for you so that it will be easily understandable and be able to be read. All of you will be on stage, but I am wondering if anyone would like to step up or nominate someone to be the presenter when we are all in person in Anchorage on the 4th. And it could be a person or two. You guys can break it down. I'm just curious as to who would like to, if anyone feels that anyone speaks eloquently and would like to be the presenter.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. This is Dina, and unfortunately I will not be able to be there. But I think having Liz and Chuck potentially present together could be really powerful.
Or if there's
Val were here, I'd probably nominate her also.
Yeah, if there's anyone on the call, the committee who's not here that we want to nominate as well, we can try and reach out to them. Anyone else have a nomination? Knowing that the full committee will be present at the front for the presentation and there to help answer questions.
I think Chuck and Liz would be great if they would want to do so.
This is Liz. I really appreciate that, and I'm happy to do that. But I would say that if Melanie Banky, I know that she hasn't been able to participate lately because these meetings happen to overlap with a really huge compacting process she's already engaged in elsewhere. But I think that it would be a very powerful presentation between herself and Chuck, because she is the head of a tribally empowered Alaska Native organization, standing side by side with an elected official of the state. I think that that could be a really important message in terms of just the two of them doing the delivery of it, with all of us standing behind them to support. Again, I'm happy to do that, but I think that there's that opportunity with somebody who already represents that, that the unique partnership that we're holding up and trying to honor in this this transformational recommendation.
Liz, we're not sure if she's coming in, but that's appreciative that you threw her name out there. We'll have to check and see if she plans to attend or not.
Okay, I can ask her too. I wanted to suggest something in terms of the recommendation, especially around the values component, because I think I heard someone talking about what would that look like for schools who don't enter into those compacts, or communities that choose not to. And there's something about the values piece that I think is really important. So I'm wondering if, instead of having two separate ones, two separate recommendations, that the rationale, that the rationale point that talks about the value statement contain a second sentence that essentially would say, you know, in the event a compact does not, in the event a community or a school does not have a compact, that the the values component still is something that they, that can and should be something that all schools in Alaska are doing.
Thanks, Liz. So there has been a nomination for Liz and someone else to Chuck or Melody, and she will reach out to her and see if Melanie's available. Is there anyone else that would like to work with this team or think might be a good voice in this presentation?
And Chuck, this is Erin. I just wanted to confirm, will you be able to attend on October 4th?
Yes, I
okay.
will.
Wonderful.
And I'm willing.
To me, this is Geraldine.
Hi, Geraldine.
I know Liz mentioned about how she wouldn't mind being there, and I strongly suggest that she does, even if she feels as if, Liz, even if you feel as if there's another person that's more fitting to be their representative, I feel like you've been involved in all of the teleconferences that we've had so far, and if there's any clarifications or anything that you need to talk about in depth, you could recall the conversations that we had and draw them into your presentation. So I really feel that you should be presenting with Chuck.
Thank you, Geraldine.
There's Trish.
Timmy, this is Tiffany.
Go ahead, Tiff.
Hey, so you said we're all going to be on stage, right?
From what I understand from the explanation I've been given is that you will all be up front on stage presenting. I mean, you will all be there so that they can visually see each of you.
I guess my question is, like, I'm completely comfortable having Liz be one of the primary presenters here. So my question is, during Q&A, if there are questions that perhaps somebody else felt the need to address or the desire to address, if there would be an opportunity from the people who weren't necessarily primary presenters to address questions from Q&A.
We would absolutely encourage that, Tiffany. And that's why we're all meeting an hour before, so we can, you know, kind of just talk through a few things before we go on stage and have to get up there. But we would encourage that anyone that has a voice or a thought could be part of answering.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Is there anything else that any other unheard comments that people want to say something to before we move to the closing of this meeting? All right, I counted to 10 and heard nothing. So it's hard on the phone because I can't see your faces. Erin has requested that we do one more attendance roll call because we know people have joined in, and we just want to make sure we capture everyone that was at this meeting. So maybe, Erin, would it be easier to just ask if anybody wasn't on when we took roll call at the beginning to just let you know they're here?
Actually, I don't need a roll call for the meeting. What I want to get a head count for October 4th.
Sorry.
I'm just going to run through the names of those who are on the call. If you could just let me know, we're just trying to finalize numbers and know the committee makeup that will be there in attendance on the 4th. And so I'm just going to go through the photo sheet, and if you could just say, yes, you're coming, or no, you're not able to join us on the 4th. John Harmon?
I am teaching. I'm taking Thursday off from teaching so I can be at that meeting. And what I committed to on the day before, which is the 4th, When I have my planning period or have a class where I can get a teacher to cover for me, I'll be over. I teach in Anchorage, so it's not far from the Dena Center. But so I will be in and out, but I don't know what time this presentation is. So to answer your question is, I will be around, but I don't know that I'll be there for this presentation or the other committee presentation that I'm sitting on because I have not seen the final agenda yet.
Thank you.
Geraldine, I believe you are joining us on the 4th, yes? All right, I believe we have her travel book. Rachel, I know that you said you're not able to join us. I don't believe Representative Fansler is still online. Representative Kopp, I heard that you'll be able to join us on the 4th. Tiffany Jackson, are you able to join us on the 4th?
Weather permitting, I will be there. I'm supposed to be flying out the evening of the 3rd.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Terry Boyd, are you able to join us on the 4th?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. And Tim Parker.
Yes, I'll be there all day. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And Dena.
I am so sorry. I didn't have it on my calendar, and I'm going to be on a plane that day.
Okay, all right. Thanks for letting us know. And Liz, I assume you'll be there on the 4th.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. Was there anyone that I missed? Okay, thank you. And just a reminder for John and others, attached to the email as well as posted on the Alaska's Education Challenge webpage is the final meeting agenda. This committee will be presenting from 3:10 to 3:40 on the 4th, and you have an hour from 11:15 to 12:15 to walk through your presentation, prepare for any questions, and also take time to celebrate together as a committee all the amazing work that you've done these past several months. So that agenda is attached to that email as well as the PowerPoint template that we'll be using. Sarah and I are going to go over and confirm all the language that we've worked on here today and make sure that that's reflected in that PowerPoint presentation. And it sounds like we have Chuck and Liz available to present on behalf of the committee, and Liz is going to confirm with Melanie if she's able to present as well. Are there any other logistical questions about the October 4th meeting?
And this is John. I will be there then because school lets out at 3 o'clock, so I will be over as soon as possible, and I will be there for this presentation.
Great.
This is Geraldine. I got cut off before I responded that I will be there.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you, Geraldine.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Is Kenny Gallifrey going to be able to join us as well?
He's not on, so we don't know that at this point.
Okay, I didn't know if he had booked his travel arrangements, but I guess we'll find that out. So thank you.
All right. I know today was a tough day. We were doing a lot of words, and you guys don't know how amazing Aaron and Sarah are over here working to capture everything that's being said as the discussion rolls on. We know that it isn't always optimum to meet like this, but we also know the challenges within Alaska, you know, sometimes keep us from being face-to-face as often as we'd like. But I appreciate everyone that stuck with us through these meetings. I really think that we have come up with a transformable idea, something that will really shake up education in our state and transform it for the betterment of all of our kids. So as the trainer in me, I always like to go around and just kind of end the meeting with a word of how you're feeling as we hang up. So it can either be how you're feeling today or how you're feeling about seeing everybody in October. So if we could just go around the circle. John, we'll start with you because you're the first picture on my list.
Oh, no, that's great. Well, and I'm excited about both. I'm excited about what I'm doing here today is the final thing that's going to be presented from this subcommittee, as well as seeing everyone on the 4th and those who will also be there on the 5th. So thank you.
Thank you. Sarah.
I'm inspired.
Thank you. Geraldine.
I'm relieved that I was able to participate in all the teleconferences and just the opportunity to be involved is just, it's overwhelming. So thank you.
Thank you, Geraldine. Rachel's not here. Chuck.
Well, it's a great privilege just to be part of this work and with all these people on our team. I think it's a real rare thing to have something this significant be put forward, and just really excited that we're doing it. And I have a lot of confidence that there'll be momentum that'll be kept going on this.
Ms. Tiffany Jackson.
Please. I mean, I think we've done a lot of good work, and then I think we've had a lot of great conversation, and I'm pleased with how it's come through.
Carrie Boyd.
I'm just really happy that we came up with a very succinct goal and rationale. I was getting a little nervous at the last meeting that we wouldn't get this far, so I'm really pleased.
Thank you. Tim Parker.
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that the momentum will be generated and that our educators will rally around all the ideas that come forward out of this. So I'm hopeful.
Thanks, Tim. Dina?
I am optimistic. I really, really enjoyed working with the committee. And I have to say, going in, I was not, I thought this was going to be more perfunctory than anything. And I think people really engaged. And I think that we have an idea that truly is transformational. So I'm just feeling very, very optimistic and just really appreciate everybody's participation and honored to be part of this group, because there was a lot of wisdom in this room, virtual room.
Thank you. And Liz.
Ready.
Ready. All right. Well, I really have been honored to even be part of this group in a little way. I look forward to seeing everyone in October, and if there's nothing else, we will call it a day. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Timmy and Eric.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.